Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Message about becoming a new creation. We've missed a couple weeks because of situations and circumstances. So let's pray, and then we'll get into the last 3 points of it. Father, we thank you for all that's gone forward, the praise, the worship, the adoration. Lord, that's really why we are so glad that you're real, because we can come to you, we can trust you, we can praise you, and you show up in such a mighty, faithful way. And we're never disappointed. I know sometimes we don't get what we think we should get, but when we weigh out all the things and remember Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good to those that love you, and those that are called according to your purpose, as we sift through that passage and sift through the things that go through our lives, things do work out for our good. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to always keep that perspective. No matter if the things look bad now, remember that they're going to work for our good. And Lord, I pray for you to speak to our hearts. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. So the last time we talked about our personal views and our political views matching scripture, which is really another work in and of itself, how we're allowing the Spirit of God to be our leader and not others to lead us. Amen. Politics is an interesting field, and I'm not going to go back over that, but it's interesting because it draws us into things that sometimes we know we shouldn't get into. But if we trust the Holy Spirit, he will lead us and guide us, as the scripture says, into what? All truth. Everybody say, all truth. God is desiring us to walk in truth, live in truth, think truth, demonstrate truth, be truth. Amen? So that's why we need to have that transformation. So the next point, and this is the good news. The first thing is don't be come discouraged. The change has come, and the change will come. And what does that mean? That means we have really been, if you've accepted Christ, you really have been changed. A lot of times we don't see the change in our own lives. Amen? I mean, we look at our lives and say, God, how come I can't seem to get this? How come I seem to be always going through this same? But remember where you came from, and then look at where you are today. That should give you encouragement that you are making progress. Amen? Because one of the biggest tricks of the enemy is that he tries to get us to a place that make us think that we're not progressing in the things of God. You know, oh, I'm not praying enough. Well, are you praying at all? And before you got saved, were you praying at all? No. Only time you were praying is, Lord, get me out of this. That was your prayers. But now at least you're taking some time to pray. Pray for people. Prayer really is more, even though we pray for ourselves, prayer is really designed for intercession. Everybody knows what intercession is. That means you're praying for others. And usually if you're going to learn to be a person that prays any length of time, it gets out of praying for yourself and you start to pray for others. That's when you become like Jesus, because he prays for us, or he prayed for us, and he continues to be before the Father before us now. So he's interceding for us. And so then we begin to intercede for others. So if you want to understand that change has come or is coming and will come, let's go to Galatians. I'm going to read a whole bunch of scriptures on this because I think we need to be encouraged. So let's go to Galatians 6:9. And this is one that we all have probably memorized. And it says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not faint." This old King James used to say, and this one says, "If you don't lose heart." Well, what does it mean to lose heart? Anybody? What? Lose confidence? What's the other one? Grow weary? Be discouraged? Look at a situation and say, "Man, my bank account is still at $50. That's discouraging. But don't lose heart. You know, there's an old song, a friend of ours that's passed on, gone to be in heaven, Gene Martin. I don't know if you guys know Gene Martin. Gene Martin was a evangelist, singer. He was with A.A. Allen. I don't know if you guys remember A.A. Allen. That was back in the 70s. He's a dynamic gospel preacher. Signs and wonders followed him mightily. He was really powerful in the casting out demons. But Gene was his worship leader. And then after he died in the 70s, Gene picked up and went on the evangelistic trail. And when I was a new Christian, he used to come to Rainer Temple all the time. And there's a song he used to sing. It says, "Things are going to get better because they can't stay that way always." And you might think about that song, well, that's not true. Well, it is true if you're in God. Because things with God don't stay the same. They're going to get better if you put your trust in Him. Amen? So if you keep yourself encouraged, and this is why I said, if you look at where you come from, I think one of the tragedies of the church is that sometimes we forget that we were at one point in our lives sinners. We were not nice people. We were ugly, nasty, mean, bullies, even worse than bullies. But God had mercy on us and He changed us. And we sometimes, when we go through our new problems, we forget what God brought us from the old problems. How He put aside that old man that we used to serve daily and now gave us a heart to want to serve Him. That doesn't mean that we've arrived where we're going to go, but that means that we have made progress on the destination. So if you ever become discouraged, think about what God has done for you in the past. It's a good thing to rehearse the blessings of God in our past. Think about how God brought you out of this situation, or healed your body then, or took you through this, or provided financial blessing when you didn't know where it was going to come from. Blessed you with something, or just whatever it is, how God came through. Just like we sing in that song, He'll come through for you no matter what you're going through. He has always come through, but we have such a short memory because the enemy presses. He makes the present situation so present that we forget what God has done sometimes in just such the near past. So if you don't be discouraged, don't grow weary, you'll reap in due season if you don't lose heart. Amen? Next passage I want to read is Hebrews 10:36. And there's a couple of Hebrew passages I'm going to read, so I'm going to go Hebrews 10:36 and then Hebrews 12:1-3. Hebrews 10:36 says this, "For you have need of endurance, Now, the King James says patience. So the word endurance and patience are usually translated from the same word. So you have to endure and you have to have patience. He says, you have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. That's the key. Do the will of God and you will receive the promise. And then go to 12:1. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. Consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. In other words, remember that Jesus had to go through an awful lot to get you where you are. And we don't have to do anything close to what he went through. Amen? So you keep your eyes upon what he's done for us. Remember, we always talk about passion. You guys remember the movie The Passion? Right? Everybody's at least heard of it. Maybe you haven't seen it. And I always ask myself, why do they call it The Passion? I mean, Jesus wasn't hyped up to go, oh, that's the cross. I can't wait. He wasn't, what we call passion, but he was confident. He was assured. And he knew what it would bring. That's why it was a passion. Passion is not just excitement. Amen? Passion is commitment. And commitment is not always exciting. You know, we always hear people say stuff like this, especially in a marriage context. Oh, man, in the wedding, and everybody's so excited at the wedding and taking all the pictures and getting all the gifts, and the honeymoon is so exciting, but then you got to live. And so this excitement of the event wears off. So where is the passion then that continues? Or the passion is the commitment. It's the commitment when nobody else is there to cheer you on. Passion is not just an adrenaline rush. It's a commitment. I remember, I always refer back to my old sports days. I remember when I had to train for the season, the upcoming season. And I loved the games, but I hated the preparation. But if I wanted to play in the game, guess what I had to do? I had to prepare. Everything in life requires preparation in some way or another, to a lesser degree. I know, Kenya, you just finished school, and now you're doing what you were in school by, right? Doing, right? You were doing, right? Sort of. But in order to get where she wanted to get to, school is the prep ground. A lot of people drop out of school because the preparation sometimes is too long. It costs a lot of money sometimes, right? Preparations cost a lot of money. But you have to be committed to what you say you're prepared or passionate about. I love it when, I love people to be excited. Don't get me wrong. Excitement is good, but excitement, you can't live off of. Excitement is just adrenaline. And adrenaline, if you know about anything about adrenaline is a rush. It goes up and then it has to come down. You can't stay on a high adrenaline level or you would have a heart attack. You can't just be constantly like, oh, yes, oh, you'll explode because adrenaline will make your heart work too hard. That's why adrenaline has to go, it goes up and it goes down. But passion, true passion, is consistent. And that's what I want us to see. Consistency will get you the new creation lifestyle that God has promised. Amen? We have to be consistent. Everybody say consistent.
Consistent.
Come on, say it like you mean it. Consistent.
Consistent.
Now see, that's not exciting. That's not an exciting word. It's not like desiring. What's the other, you know, I always said passion, but your goals and your dreams and your visions, huh?
Aspiration.
All that stuff is so exciting. But the reality of all that stuff is that you have to be committed to it. Because it doesn't come to pass without commitment. Amen? So remember, God is doing a work in you. There was another, let me read these other passages. Well, there's one more in Hebrews 10:23. I skipped that one. Let's go back to that one. 10:23 says this. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Without wavering. That's where we struggle. Faith is like this. Faith is a word that you get from God. Amen? The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. So faith is a word from God. Unbelief is disregarding that word, saying, no, that's not from God. Perseverance is, I believe I heard from God. There's doubts creeping in, but I'm still going to believe that that's from God. You have to know that the enemy will fight the word that God gives you. Just like, that's why if you go back and look at the story of Abraham, God promised him a land to his descendants that he didn't have. Did you know that? Abraham had no children when he told them, you're gonna, all your descendants behind you are gonna possess this land. And he's looking around, said, I don't have no descendants. It's just this guy that was born in my house is my descendant. He says, no. He says, I'm gonna give you children. Now Abraham is 75 years old at that time. And his wife is 65. And then God waits 25 more years before he gives him the promise. But he, in the meantime, his wife and he came up with a better plan. Said, well, I can't have kids, Abraham, because I'm, he said, Ishmael was born when he was 86. I'm 76 now, Abraham, so why don't you take this one and have kids through her? And Abraham didn't say, no, we got to wait for God. He said, yeah, that sounds like a plan to me. I mean, but see, the word came, and then the temptation not to believe the word came, and they wavered. That's where Ishmael came in. But then what did God say to Abraham when Ishmael came? He's got to go. Did you hear me? The wavering, the result of wavering had to get out because he was not the promised child. So what I'm saying is don't allow your wavering to cause you to doubt the promise that you have received. Be persistent, be consistent. Continue to persevere because it will come to pass. You just have to be patient. Amen? None of those are exciting words. That's not, you don't say, oh, Lord, help me be, give me more patience. Most people don't pray that. What's that? But you know, see, the thing about patience is it's by definition, it's going to happen because you have to wait. Well, no, I shouldn't say you have to. If you want God to do what you want asking him to do, you have to wait. But if you want to do what you want to do, no, you don't have to wait at all. You could go out and do what you want to do, but then you have to go back and wait. After you've done what you did, it's like, don't, I got to start all over again. So it's better to just wait. And just wait until see. And when you get doubts and say, Lord, I'm not sure, but I'm gonna wait. I'm going to wait until you send me another direction. If we stayed that committed to the word that God gave us, he would give us the promise in a very shorter order. But we have to wait. Amen? So he said, hold fast the confession without wavering, because he is faithful that promised.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
Philippians 1:6 says, be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you, everybody say a good work in me, will complete it. Say, will complete it. So he's begun it and he's going to finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to finish what he started if you let him. Amen? You can short-circuit the process, but if you stay with him, he's going to complete the process that he started in you. Amen? Can you be encouraged by that? Can you look at God, what God has done in your life, and be encouraged by that? Don't be discouraged by the fact that you're not where you are. Be encouraged by the fact that you are where you are. Amen? Say, oh, Lord, I don't do this, but thank God I'm doing this. Don't allow the enemy to beat you down with what you can't do. Amen? Say, oh, Lord, I haven't finished college, but thank God I started. Because you can't finish anything until you what? Start. So, oh, Lord, but thank God I've started. I haven't read the whole Bible, but thank God I've read 50 books. You only got 16 left. It's only 66 books. Oh, God, I haven't read the Old Testament, but thank God I've read the New. Be grateful for where he started you. And don't concentrate on what. Now, doesn't mean you. See, this is the difference between contentment and satisfaction. You're content that you've started, but you're not satisfied with where you are. So you're always pressing. You're always pushing, but you're not doing it in an anxious way. See, that's the thing we have to avoid, is goals push you, but anxiety makes you panic about them. But you shouldn't panic if you know that you're going in the right direction. Amen? And so we're content with the fact that we're where we are, because you can't be where you're not. I know that sounds too simple, but you can't be where you're not. You can only be where you are. Have you ever tried to find a location? And the first question you have to answer is what? When somebody calls you up and says, I'm lost. So what's the question they ask you? Where are you? And that's what you need to ask yourself. Where are you? No, I haven't done all that I want, but where am I? I thank God where I am. Amen? Next point. So as we understand that he is doing things in us, then we have to start doing what Jesus calls the greater works that we can and should and would do. And we know John 14:12 says this. And this is such a lofty goal to get to, amen. 14:12 says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." But the greater works, you know, I always am amazed at that scripture, because I say, man, Lord, if I could just do what you did, just let me do what you did. Forget the greater stuff, but just let me get to the place where I can do what you did. But he didn't even stop there. He says, you're going to be able to do greater things. And let's look at some of the greater things that the apostles did. Let's go to Acts. We're going to stay in the book of Acts, but let's go to Acts chapter 6, verse 8 through 10. And this is just a glimpse of the greater works that Jesus talked about to them about. So Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then there arose from what was called the synagogue of the freedmen, I'll skip the names of the cities, disputing with Stephen, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Then they secretly induced men to say, "We have heard eat such blasphemous and words against Moses and God, and they stirred up people, and they also set up witnesses against him. But then that bottom word says, "And his face was like an angel." Started to shine. He started to manifest the glory of God like Jesus did. Remember the Mount of Transfiguration when they went up on the mountain and Jesus' countenance changed? This is one of those works that Jesus said. Stephen exuded the glory of God. And we know the story of Stephen. He ended up dying, but he represented at that time the glory that was a part of God's kingdom. Let's go to chapter 8, verse 4 through 8, same book of Acts. And it says, "Then Philip went, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. And unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was a great joy in that city." So this is just doing what Jesus did. But the thing about Philip is that exceeded what Jesus did. The Spirit caught him up and translated him into a place to meet the Ethiopian eunuch, and then took him away after he preached. And that story is down here. He traveled in the Spirit, kind of like Elijah, only he didn't go to heaven. He just got moved. And that's down towards the bottom. After he spoke to verse 38 says, "So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the church went down." I'm still in chapter 8. "Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing, but Philip was found at Azotus. Passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea." So God translated him. I mean, you talk about, that's something that Jesus didn't do. Jesus didn't get moved like that. And we can go on and on. There's Paul with the handkerchiefs. You know, everybody got a prayer cloth now. That's where the idea of the prayer cloths came from. The Bible said And Paul did special miracles. He took cloths and handkerchiefs that were on his body and he sent it to the people and they were healed and demons were cast out. That's where the idea of the prayer cloth comes from. But Jesus didn't do that. And Peter walked down the street and the Bible says in just his shadow, people were healed by just walking in his shadow. Jesus didn't do that. So the disciples exuded or demonstrated what Jesus said in John 14, 12. You'll do the works I do, and then you'll do greater works. And so we have to, as we work, as we walk into the new creation, then we have to also expect that we're going to be able to do the greater works. Do the works and then do the greater works that he does. But what you're going to have to do is avail yourself. Everybody say, avail yourself. That means make yourself available. Pray for somebody. You want to see people healed? How many want to see people healed? Then you got to pray for them. That's the only way Jesus did. He didn't pull out the medicine chest and say, what you need? Ibuprofen, Oxycontin, what you need? Advil, I got some of it, you know. Whatever you need, I got it. He got it, but it wasn't that. So we have to pray. We have to step out and pray for people if we want to see God use us in that way. And again, going back to what I said, and remember, he is the one that does the work. If we could get over the fact that we're not the healer, we don't have any power to heal other than his power that's in us. Amen? It's not by our power, it's by his power. So when we pray, all we're asking God to do is what he promised. And we shouldn't be embarrassed if people don't get healed, because that's not what we have to do. Is find out, just like the disciples did when the little boy came and they couldn't cast out the demon. Remember that one? Remember that story? And they asked Jesus, Jesus, how come we couldn't cast it out? And what did Jesus say to them? Yeah, you're going to have to put a little bit more time in it. That's what he told them. Some things aren't going to be instantaneous. You're going to have to pray and fast and get through this thing. You're going to have to surrender and consecrate yourself so that you can see the works working in you. So that's sometimes what's going to take, but you have to avail yourself. Amen? So as we become new creations, we should expect. Everybody say expect. Come on, say it like you mean it. Expect these signs to follow us. The Bible says these signs shall follow who? These signs shall follow who? Come on. These signs shall follow who? So ask yourself, are you a believer? If you're a believer, the signs follow you, not you follow signs. Churches have gotten to the place where, oh, there's a miracle service. I'm going. No, the signs follow you. You don't follow the signs. And it's not, I'm not saying don't go to meetings. That's not what I'm saying. Because we all can go. Look, you know, a lot of people have a problem with other people going to other churches. Why? We're the body. And I don't have everything that you need as your pastor. Now, that's a bold statement, but that's the truth, okay? I have a part of what God has brought to you, but I don't have it all. So there is a vast amount of teaching in the body of Christ that is out there to help us all. Amen? Now, you have to sift through some of it. Because sometimes you hear something, you say, oh, no, I don't want that one. I'll turn that channel. I don't need that. But there's great things out there for you. There's books, there's tapes, they don't do tapes anymore. But, you know, podcasts and live streams. There is all that stuff we need to get because it's a part of our growth process. But we also have to get to the place where we too have become teachers and not always have to be taught. Amen? And this is what we're talking about. All right, last point, and then we're closing. So we remember that we want have been changed and we're continue to be changed, that start doing the greater works because we are changed, and then start making disciples. Not disciples of yourself, but disciples of Jesus Christ. Start teaching, training people. Become a mentor in spiritual matters. Be a person that somebody can come to for advice and counsel. And don't put yourself out there, but out there meaning don't do things you know you're is out of your league, but stay where God has shown you. And let me tell you something. If you've read the Bible at all and gotten a little bit of revelation, you're ahead of a lot of people, not only in the church, but of course in the world, but even in the church. So make yourself available to mentor or disciple people. Teach people. Show people the right way. When somebody comes to you and asks you advice, give them biblical advice. Don't say, honey, that you know what I would do. No, they don't want to hear what you would do unless it's biblical. Are you with me? Train people. Train those around you. Be a light to everybody that comes across your path. And let people know that the God you serve is still the God of Daniel and Joseph. Somebody, you know, we can still interpret dreams. Did you guys know that? In the house of God, there's still the ability to interpret dreams. When somebody has a bad dream, interpret it for them. The gifts of the Spirit have not gone away. How can Joseph, who didn't have the Spirit of God in him, but just upon him, know more than we who have the Spirit of God in us? And we have the Word. And we know what happened with Joseph's life. We know how the story ends. So we have to make ourselves available to teach and disciple. And we know the scripture is Matthew 28, 10 and 12. Go into all world. And let me just get to it and then we'll close. It's 18:20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So go and teach, disciple people. We are now disciples. We're the extension of the 12 apostles. If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't know the gospel. Amen? Now, one of these days, I'm going to have to do a lesson on how the church got to where it is. But we'll do that another day. But as it stands now, the church is the only place where truth resides. And we are the ones that to carry that truth to those that we come in contact with. Amen? So that is what it's like to become a new creation. Everything is different. Our thinking, our actions, our words, our mission, our desires, everything is different. And then we can do things that even God himself was able to do. Amen? Let's stand. And I know sometimes you might say, "Pastor, you teach us things and they seem they're so far away." But I hope I bring it down so that you can see that even though it looks different, Jesus said that a child can do it. And it really goes back to what the gentleman spoke last night and what Marquise's conference. It's surrender. If we surrender to God, we can do great things in the kingdom of God and even in the natural. There is no difference, spiritual or natural. When you surrender to God, He can do great things. So, Father, I thank You for Your revelation of what it means to be a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And Lord, I thank You for the progress of everyone in this room, for Thomas and Darshane and Kenya, Hannah, Jane and Unique, and Louise, Marquise, and myself. Lord, You've taken us so far from where we were when we first knew You. And Lord, we want to just thank You, and Michael, thank You for taking us where You all have taken us. And we know that this is not the end of the journey, but we're just in the midst of our journey. And Lord, sometimes on a long road trip, we can get distracted. We can get weary. So Lord, help to remind us to get out of the car and stretch our legs and exercise the things that You've given us so that we don't become stagnant on the journey. So many scriptures we read today will reap in due season if we just don't lose heart. And Lord God, I pray for all those that may have begun to lose heart. They thought, I'll never get over this. I'll never get out of this. I'll never have enough. I'll never. But Lord, I thank You for what You've done. And Lord, we fling the door wide open to the possibility of You doing more in our lives. And I command the devil to shut his mouth and that his works would be stopped. And every stumbling block he tries to throw in our path would be removed. And Lord, we thank You that we have victory over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means can hurt or harm us. So Lord, I undergird, I strengthen, I build up my brothers and my sisters that are here under the sound of my voice. I command the weights that they're carrying to fall off. I command the burdens and the cares of this life that have clouded their vision to be removed. I command anxiety to be cast upon You because You care for us. And You said, don't be anxious for anything, but pray about it and trust Me. And Lord, I free everyone under the sound of my voice to be all that You've called them to be. In the mighty name of Jesus, their hands, they shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall see people recover. They shall disciple people and teach them the ways of life. They will be a light to everyone that comes in contact with them. And they will give You all the glory and all the praise, because we know it's not You. It's not us. It's You. Just like Stephen's face shone with light, Lord, let our lives shine. Even let people see the glory that lives in us through Jesus Christ by Your Holy Spirit. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for what You've done. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.